is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, as we continue to fight through the break in more ways than one, we're ready for the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspect, ESPN 97.5. As a discussion is never dead, because it's a discussion, if handled the right way. Barry and I handle it by...
As what?
Researching things on the internet and bringing it back up occasionally until we find that there's a happy medium or we can agree to disagree. On Twitter, with our listeners, it gets a little dicey sometimes, but sometimes it's just a pedestrian. You know, I feel like Granato or Barry in a lot of cases. I mean, as long as you're not involved in it, but you can be front and center to watch it unfold, it's a pretty fun thing.
You want to tell them why you brought that up?
Because...
Huh?
I'm only read the deleted items on the text line. So I'm reading the people that are telling you, essentially, I was right, you were wrong, about fishy fish and what is really a fishy fish as opposed to what is more of a white fish.
It's got to be, it's partly opinion.
True. To some degree. But, you know, minimal if they agree with me.
Like, I think catfish is a very fishy tasting fish.
Someone said that.
But I think salmon is not.
And I think salmon is. Fish.
So the only thing I could find was this thing that says the top best tasting fish to eat. Mm-hmm. Swordfish is the steak of the sea. Halibut. Cod. Which you said.
Yep.
It's the chicken of the sea. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, Jessica Simpson doesn't think so. Chilean sea bass. Halibut is another one that's supposed to be a very non-fishy tasting fish.
Yeah, Chilean sea bass. Was on there, Nicholas, and then salmon, and then a bunch of yellowtail tuna, snapper, and all that.
In terms of being like fishy fish?
Like, no, just best tasting.
Yeah.
One was swordfish. Well, I don't even know if these are in an order. They just have them listed.
What about tuna?
Tuna is on there, but it's down a ways. Bluefin tuna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I still am going to disagree that salmon
I'm shocked by that.
Is a fishy-tasting fish. I don't think it is. But again, my palate is different than your palate. You like your steak hard enough to crack a window.
Not hard enough.
I like
to
my
crack
steak the way it's supposed
Bloodier
to be
than
eaten.
Stephen King movie.
The way it's supposed to be eaten. So mm-hmm. We do disagree from time to time on how things should be eaten.
But we handle it professionally as opposed to the people on Twitter that don't.
That's true.
That
I'm so glad I can't see any of that.
Get into it. It's just crazy.
So glad I don't see any of that.
Lenny and Patrick are going at it about is it a one game Astros winning streak? Or is it losing 5 of 6? And it just keeps going. It's like, who cares?
I think they're both right.
Yeah.
Christina said, since the annals of this show, you guys have been instrumental in helping listeners nip improper phrases in the butt.
In the butt? Fantastic.
Outstanding.
Now, did she spell it annals or anals?
Anals. Well done, Christina.
Yes.
Joel had to explain your joke, but you still did. It was a fantastic tweet.
I'm not supposed to do even that. Though I Joel, read your Twitter.
Even though Dang, Joel explained again. It. Also, speaking of jokes and the power of radio, guess who just sent me a Facebook message saying, my bad, dog, here's some audio. Theo Taylor, the guy I specifically called out about not sending me any audio.
Come on, Theo.
I was like, every time I see him, I'm like, bro, really? When are you going to do this? So he goes, he sent me a Facebook message. He said, okay, somebody just hit me up and yelled at me to get you some good audio because they listened to you on the radio. Sorry it's taking so long. Here you go, bro.
And why aren't you listening, Theo?
Well, I don't think Theo's a big sports guy.
Well, he should start.
But
support his people.
Yeah, that's about time.
No, did you call him out today or did you call him out for... not getting us the stuff we needed.
No, this today, this earlier. I used him as an example.
Because you didn't give the name of
have
who
you, first
didn't.
Time, first time
first
listener?
Time, yeah, first long time, time, long time.
Long time
yeah.
talker?
No, what I meant by that.
No, it's too late. You can't backtrack.
Is you wouldn't give the name of who didn't get you the stuff for Friday.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not throwing the money to the bus.
Now, if I was you, I'd be like, come on, mention it. Come on.
I know, but that wouldn't
Straight
work.
Out there.
That wouldn't work on me.
Oh, because you're more of a polished.
Well, you said it, not me.
Okay. I didn't say what you're polished.
Polished a turd, huh? Is that what you're implying
no.
there? Hey, rest in peace to Sed Benson. How sad is that story?
Shocked to see that. Obviously, he hasn't been in the league, but only 36 years old. And when I first saw it, I was like, please tell me that's not true. Because I'm just thinking about this guy's whole life in front of him. And yet, motorcycle accident in Austin, and they verify it. And then, obviously, you get the tweets from Mac Brown and Ricky Williams and so many people that have had contact with him because of their ties to the media and otherwise. And it's just a very, very sad story.
It really is, man. Man, those things are so dangerous.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that own motorcycles, and I think, like, my growing up, my uncle and aunt had their own motorcycles, and both of them had wrecks. And I think you talk to most people that own a motorcycle, and it's not a matter of if you're going to crash, it's when.
And it's
pretty much
thing,
everybody to a person
now look,
that I've known has had at least one wreck or accident on a motorcycle.
My niece and her husband are big motorcycle aficionados in Milwaukee with Harley Davidson. But if you're just the average Joe and you enjoy your motorcycle rides and things like that, hey, more power to you, right? But when you're Jeff Kent, when you're Jason Williams, the Duke star that was the number one draft pick that had his whole career in front of him, and because of a motorcycle accident screwing around, he really never even sniffed what he could have been potential-wise, and he was done. I was going to say Kellen Winslow Jr., but he had other issues we found out later. But I'm just saying, as an athlete, and these things are in your contract anyway, but just that's a stay away.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, obviously he didn't have a contract.
And I know Sed Benson didn't anymore, but I'm just saying overall, because getting onto your point about how dangerous they can be. But, I mean,
apparently what happened was there was a van that was trying to make a left into the intersection, and Benson had a passenger. Both died.
Yeah.
And they were.
Oh, that's the. I didn't even.
Witnesses
hear that part
said
of it.
That he was traveling at a high rate of speed.
Yeah.
And that. That it. They said that the van, the passenger, the guy refused, you know, any medical attention and declined to be transported. But man, what a terrible, you know, there's some things out there that you can prevent. There's some things that driving like that, man, unfortunately, usually doesn't end well.
It's a dangerous
You get away
situation.
With it sometimes, but eventually stuff like that can catch up to you, man.
I mean, I'm sure, like, I always like to bring in an MMA example. I'm sure, like, Dana White, you know, gets nervous when Donald Cerrone is always doing these, you know, extremely dangerous activities, but he just loves the thrill. I remember Frank Mir back in the day had a big motorcycle accident, and a lot of people thought his career was over as a heavyweight in the UFC, but he just loved riding his Harleys, you know? So, I mean, it just, a lot of these guys just love the thrill so much, but sure enough, promotions and NFL teams and NBA teams, they get really nervous when you're on a motorcycle, honestly, or any type of activity that's kind of dangerous like that.
I don't own a motorcycle. I've never owned a motorcycle. I don't know that I would want to because of how dangerous it is. Plus, like, I had a sports car for a while, and I see the appeal of driving fast. And if I had a motorcycle, I think it would be hard for me to not want to drive fast.
Yep.
That's kind of part of it. It's that freedom and of having the motorcycle, but also how fast they go. And, man, it's just sometimes – it's not even that the drivers are necessarily the ones that are bad drivers. It's the rest of us that are in cars that aren't paying attention and looking out for motorcycles. Now, in the case of Sed Benson, if what the reports are – if those reports are true, then maybe he was at fault in the accident. At this point, it doesn't matter anymore. But I think a lot of times just the danger of it is – the rest of us, tell the truth. When you change lanes, is your first thought, I wonder if there's a motorcycle over there?
No.
You just check your blind spot for another car and keep going.
And it's the same way we talked about when I was in California, where it's legal to do that in between cars in lanes.
They do it here, too. It pisses me off.
Yeah, and that's so dangerous because if you're not – and Lisa was driving at the time because she knew the neighborhood and the highway. But when you look at it and you don't really – you're not just checking – you're only checking your lane to see, is there a car there so I can get over. You're not looking, like, in your rear view back a couple of – spots to go, is there a motorcycle barreling down that's going to come zipping into one
in
of those
between
spots?
Cars, yeah.
And what I also don't like is, and it's kind of eerie too, but so he tweeted out on Instagram the picture of the motorcycle and said, my Saturday evening with a heart showing his BMW motorcycle. And again, that's his hobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything you see on this guy was he was just a good dude. But then you've got some of the people going, well, he just got done with troubles with the law, and now this. Don't try and drag his name through the mud now because he's not with us anymore. Everybody said, look, from his athletic accomplishments to who he was as a human being, he was a good dude. It's a very unfortunate situation. He still has friends and family. Don't muddle it up with stuff like that. Mm. That annoys me. And they said that, you know, obviously he was in Austin. There were people, but the pictures that they show of, like, and I'm showing you now, but when he hit the van, it set off an explosion. He got out, and he was smoldering, and bystanders who happened to be there with extinguishers were coming to his aid and trying to get him extinguished the flames and help him out. And there were people there who were trying to do something about all this, and obviously they couldn't do anything because of the severity of the injury. So
that's awful. Somebody texted and said, that's exactly this one life flight and five different hospital visits from one motorcycle. That's wild. And then, unfortunately, man, I hate to hear this. Longtime listener, that's exactly how my wife passed away. Same scenario as Benson.
Oh,
just
wow.
Awful, man.
Terrible.
Hate hearing that.
It's just, again, and you obviously we always say you never know, but that's just living life every day.
Yeah.
You know, going to the mall, going to Walmart, doing the things that you do on the regular, and you don't know. But then you also have to realize that some of the things that you choose to do as a hobby, you know, that gets that kind of adrenaline rush again, can be extremely dangerous, like riding a motorcycle at a high rate of speed like that.
Let's end this segment on a high note. Somebody said, have y'all sent out the emails for the Fantasy Football League draft this week? Yes, everybody's gotten an email. I'm tired of people asking, when is the draft and where? Courtney emailed all of you. Don't email me or tweet me or text me asking. She sent you an email. You should know this. If you want this gift card, you better bring it. I'm not doing all your work for you. Now you're going to want me to draft for you? Yes, Courtney sent out the emails. You should have them.
You, by the way, if you drafted for somebody in a situation like this, would take 12 kickers.
Totally. Are you kidding
me? No doubt about it. And you'd start with the Bears.
No doubt. Also, somebody texted and said, this is the funniest number one show I've been a fan since day one. Jim Adler, keep putting money in people's pockets. There you go.
I'm not doing it.
I was trying to goad you into it, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. We spaced
Senorita,
those out.
Or whatever he says. What does he say in Spanish?
That's okay. So I told Barry that Lisa stayed home today, as we've highlighted. And so what the commercial came on. And so I told her about how it's becoming a popular thing with the listeners. And she's like, we'll do it. And I didn't do it very loud, but I tried to do the Spanish version.
Mm-hmm.
And all I had to do was, Senorita made mucho dinero at $8.33. We hammered them. And she just left the room laughing. I was like, that still works.
It's good stuff. By the way, somebody texted, we didn't get emails. You're a liar. You're out of the league. Bye.
Meanness is a virtue with Barry Landon. Here we go. Rolling the rest of the
Joel.
Show. Final hour rolling on ESPN 97.5.
Big, big hammer.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we've covered a lot of ground today, a lot of sports, a lot of other things. Quite the UFC card this weekend.
It was. I caught some of it. I missed, obviously, the best fight, the Yoel Romero, Paulo Costa fight. That was obviously fight of the night. I did get to catch the main event, which I'm glad, because had I, you know, not knowing the rest of the card, that was a hell of a fight. That was a really good fight. It had a little bit of everything. And
I take it the Cormier fight was the main event.
The Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic fight was the main event. And really, That Anthony Pettis, Nate Diaz fight could have been a main event. Mm-hmm. The Romero Costa fight could have been a main event for sure. But that Cormier Miocic fight ended up being the main event. That's the one fight that I actually got to watch. And did you get to watch it at all?
No, I was still at that gala. So
here's the funny thing about fighting, man, and I think fighters forget this. And I tweeted it out a little bit, but I think a lot of times fighters forget about body work, and so. As the main event started, Daniel Cormier comes out and he does what everyone expects him to do, and that's take down Miocic and have his way with him on the ground. And then round two comes out, and I think Cormier wins that round, but it was a good round. Miocic looked a lot better. In fact, at one point, I think in the corner, Cormier even asked, am I losing this fight? And they were like, no, you're not, but just go out there. So I think he was up 2-1.
He was.
And in the fourth round, something clicked in with Miocic, and I think, well, one, the entire fight, Cormier was just taking punishment to get inside. And when you're a smaller dude with a smaller reach than other guys, and that's always the case with Daniel Cormier, you kind of have to do that. You have to know that I'm going to eat a jab or two, or I'm going to eat some punches, but in order to get inside and do damage, I'm going to have to do that. And that's what he was doing. He was willing to take a shot to give a shot. And he was actually faster than Miocic, and he was working him. And it was a clinic early on about how he was piecing up Miocic. And you could see that on his face after the fight. But he didn't keep his hands up the entire fight. And so he was susceptible to the right hand. And then once Stipe Miocic found the body was open on Cormier's right side, and he was throwing that left to the body, and it landed 2, 3, 4 times in a row, you just knew. If you know anything about martial arts or anything about fighting, I was like, this is over with, because his hands are already down and now he's going to have to keep them down to protect his body. This is the beginning of the end. And sure enough, not too long after that, it was a body shot that hurt him. He winced a little bit, hands go down, overhand right. That was it. That was the end of the fight. And credit to Miocic, man, because he was getting his ass whipped. And he hung in there, and he found an opening, and he took advantage of it. And it's a lesson for all fighters. Never forget about that body work. The one fighter that I know that really works the body a lot, surprisingly, Mike the Truth Jackson. He loves to go to the body because that can change. You know, just like we talk about wrestling being able to change a fight because you can dictate where the fight takes place. If I want to take you down and I want to fight you on the ground as a wrestler, I can do that, especially if you're not a good wrestler. Body shots can change the complexion of a fight in an instant.
Yeah, not only does it hurt you and it makes you super tired, but then you become more immobile, you start protecting yourself less, like you mentioned. So yeah, body shots are devastating how many times have we seen a fighter go down just to a body shot without even having to take a punch to the face?
Dude, when I trained Muay Thai, once I got good enough to start sparring with people, we would get in the cage and, you know, I'd wear headgear or whatever. I wasn't a fighter or anything like that, but we'd get in there, and I remember I getting punched in the face, I would giggle. When I would get hit in the face, I would giggle because I enjoyed it. I was like, this is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
But you had headgear on, right? So did you feel it?
Not all the time. No, just normally getting punched in the face. But then when we would spar,
Enjoy it, Nick and I'll see you a couple times a week.
With gloves on and stuff, Joel. But then you put the headgear on, and then you go at 100%, and it's a lot different. And getting hit in the head, you're like, wow, okay. This is different, but nothing ever really hurt me until I got hit with a body shot. And one body shot, and I involuntarily
ribs
went down.
Got where?
Liver.
Okay.
Liver shot. Done.
Yeah, you'll go down right away.
I tried to stand up. I tried not to go down, but my body was like, nah, we're out. It just shuts down on you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the damage that getting hit in the head is one thing, but man, when on a well-placed body shot on either side, but a well-placed body shot, it'll buckle you.
There's
just
a lot
as
of,
big as a knockout.
Yeah, there's a lot of kickboxers and Muay Thai guys and a lot of people who strike with their legs that train in that particular discipline for a long time. And a part of the thing, one of the things that they train is throwing a body kick quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't anticipate that, And your arm is not there to protect it. I've seen people get their elbows broken just because they're trying to block a liver shot. Yep. So it's a dangerous situation when you're dealing with someone who knows how to throw a body kick and throws it very quickly when you can't anticipate it.
Now, you watched it because after the fight, one, DC was quick to say, I'm not going to retire. I'm not going to say anything on emotion, right?
Yeah, he said he would think about it. And then, of course, he started to almost cry. I was like, oh, come on, dog. You weren't going to retire before this fight.
Then Jones started tweeting
again. Cormier was going to cry again?
Yeah, he started to tear up in the cage.
I mean, I have so much respect for him, but damn.
I love him. He's a classy dude. All 100%. Credit to Cormier because he was very classy in defeat. He gave all of the credit. He didn't say he lost. I mean, he said Miocic won. And he did. He went out there and he won that fight.
So where I was going to was, he also was quick to say, I let my corner down. I let my guys down, and I apologize to them, because when he was up 2-1, they told him, stick to the wrestling, the ground game, you know, try and get him down, because you are in the lead. And he said that he felt like because of the blows he was able to land, that he was looking for that knockout punch, and it felt so good that he was actually in a position to actually put him away I want to say the right way, but in that kind of dramatic way, mm-hmm. that he didn't listen to his corner, and he thinks that's why he lost. Do you?
He stopped wrestling. Mm-hmm. He wanted to trade with Miocic and prove a point, and I think that, yeah, he absolutely lost that fight because he ignored his corner. If he would have gone out there and stuck to his game plan, which is what he did in round one, you didn't have to do that in round two or round three necessarily, but once you're up 2-1, just like I said earlier, if you're a world-class wrestler, and I don't think there's very few guys on this planet that are better wrestlers, especially from a martial arts perspective, than Daniel Cormier, you can dictate how that fight's going to take place. And if he gets top control on Miocic, even if he just lays there and slowly works him, that's it. He's going to win that round. And I was kind of stunned. But he was having success on the feet. So I kind of understand, because he's thinking, I got this. I'm eating these punches and I'm really not taking any damage. But again, once those body shots, because your wind is just instant. Like, you take a few of those in a row as quickly as he was eating those body shots, and all your wind just goes. And now all you're worried about is just protecting your sides. And that's the beginning of the end. And at that point, as soon as he ate two or three of those, I don't understand why he didn't shoot and take him down. That's all he had to do to stop that.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Yeah, perhaps the damage was done at that point. I don't know. I didn't get to see the fight. But, man, those are so devastating. So devastating. And I think if you're right, looking back in retrospect, I'm sure Daniel's going back and saying, even if I take him down and he gets back up, go for another takedown. He said right after the fight,
he said, I'm apologizing to my corner.
Yeah.
My guys who gave me the right advice and I didn't listen.
Sometimes fighters don't. Look.
But you're in the fight, and
but
it's
give
hard.
Him credit, yeah. And give him credit for being able, even that quickly after the fight, to be able to go, that's on me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys are in denial.
Some fighters don't like it. Derek Lewis is a guy that I think he wants to listen to Crew Bob, but sometimes your instincts are always going to lead. Even though you know it may be the wrong thing to do, if your instinct as a fighter is telling you to do something, if you feel like it's gotten you this far.
I was going to say, it's got a track record of success.
You kind of, when you're in the heat of the battle, you kind of fall back on instinct. And this is what I feel like I should be doing right now. And whether it's slugging or whatever it is. So, I mean, it's not a surprise. A lot of fighters tend to, you know, not completely heed the advice. I mean, listen, watch a fight. You can hear the corner be like, go out there, keep your hands up, don't do this. Lead with the jab, throw as many jabs as you can, do this, that. And the guys won't do none of that. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that he didn't, but it did cost him the fight.
Before we wrap up MMA talk, though, how about the Stockton slap? How about Nate Diaz just slapping that fool in the ring? How about
there's nothing I can't think of that's more disrespectful.
Dude.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Because you want to get mad, but what are you going to do about it? He's whipping your ass.
Not only that, this is a 15-minute fight, right? So you only have so much real estate. Yeah. Every single punch could make you that much more tired. And he's wasting several punches on slaps in the middle of an MMA fight.
That's got to be incredible. So frustrating. Nate Diaz has so much heat now. Like, there was a time when Dana White was saying that he wasn't a draw, and I think Dana White had to admit at the press conference.
Oh, he's a draw.
Nate Diaz is a... He was saying Nick Diaz was the draw. He was like, Nick Diaz is a bigger deal than Nate. Not anymore.
No, sir.
And he came with just such a laid-back attitude. They said everybody else stayed at the hotel. He had a place on the beach. They were working out on the beach. They had a deck that was on the water. They were chilling the whole time. He came in relaxed, and then he just took care of business.
Yeah. He's crazy, man.
So there you go. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. We're going to come back and bring you the next 30 minutes, give you everything we got. If there's something you want to add to the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on Twitter. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. The final 30 minutes of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday, fun day in the big city. Kids going back to school. People kind of able to relax a little bit because they don't have as much kiddo duties.
Does that mean traffic is going to be way worse considering the H is back in town. University of Houston and all the commuter schools?
Simple answer, yep.
Give yourself a little more time to get to work.
Yeah, maybe not with us on the way here, but definitely on the way home, you're going to notice.
It's going to add at least 20, 30 minutes, I feel like, to most people.
It's quite possible. If you're anywhere near any schools or anything like that, yep.
Mm-hmm. Morning drive or rush hour drive commutes.
I forgot about the drive home. Because the drive here is not too bad. I usually leave the house about 11:45-ish, between 11:45 and noon, get here about 12:30.
Yeah, that shouldn't be too bad.
It's one day a month, right?
All right. But yeah, going home at least an hour, if not more.
That sucks.
Especially now, there's
you doing your fantasy football in Shenandoah now.
Huh? Oh, you'll allow it?
I'll allow it.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Dad. Yeah,
you're welcome. So Astros coming home tonight. Again, no days off, but at least they salvaged one win in the A's series. What looked like it could be the lost weekend from hell in O-Town. At least they got a win yesterday. Zach Greinke was great, got his 200th career win. Bregman, fantastic, with two singles, a double, and a dinger. And this team was able to at least get off the schneid, come home, and hopefully start a happy homestand against some teams you're supposed to beat up on. Now, the problem with that is you were on this road trip. You were supposed to beat up on an Orioles team that was garbage, that the Yankees handled, and then the Red Sox just swept, but you didn't do that. The White Sox have your number, and they got you. And then, obviously, a better baseball team in the A's took 3 of 4.
Yeah, it was a rough stretch. I mean, the Orioles, they still won the series. So, you just lost the last game of the series. They didn't lose the series.
I know, but they didn't sweep them like the Red Sox and Yankees did.
Yeah, but you're not going to sweep everybody every time.
I'm just throwing things out there, okay? I'm not necessarily passionate about every point I make.
Exclude that.
I'm just making points. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. So the White Sox series was bad, and the A's series was bad.
You're looking for an open wound to douse salt on, and I'm just trying to throw everything out there.
They
for the
bookend five losses in a row with two wins. Not great.
And but still a bad road
trip. We talked
about.
I mentioned. Look, if you're going to go into this A's series, even if you just split on the road, you go 2-2. That's great. But you lose ground. You're 9.5 games up going into the series. If you split, you leave 9.5 up. Now you leave 7.5 up because you only won one of the games. Still a good lead, a comfortable lead, and you still have four more left with them, so you can make up that ground.
And the Yankees and Dodgers did you some favors so that you are within striking distance. Now another key stretch, because now you're home for an extended period of time, and you're playing, and from now till the end of the regular season, you're only playing five games, I'm sorry, outside of a four-game series with the A's here, you only have five other games against teams with a winning record, and that's two with Milwaukee and three with Tampa. So the schedule says you are now supposed to eat, clean up, hammer time, take care of business.
And they will.
But the only reason why I have a little bit of concern is because of the fact that they were supposed to...
Did you say bullpen? I'm going
to... I was going to torture you with that later. No.
Stockton slap.
The only thing that really concerned me was you were supposed to take care of business on this road trip against bad baseball teams, and you didn't quite do that. I think they were 4-6 on the trip. But hopefully, again, look, the best home record in baseball.
Yep.
Miley starts tonight against the Tigers team that's all but just given up and is hoping for a high draft pick and playing for the future. And so, you know, the pitching lineups, they're expecting Cole back. We'll see. It hasn't been official. It's still TBD on Thursday, but they're expecting Garrett Cole should be ready to go on Thursday. You get him back in the lineup. That's a big factor in making you who you are as a complete team to take care of anybody. And so hopefully then they get rolling and they just keep doing what they do at home. But, I mean, I was excited that at least they got the win because, look, until Bregman hit the home run, I'm like, it just figures that they're just going to get nickel and dimed again. Oh. And, you know, a nothing-nothing game where the broadcasters were kiddingly talking about Greinke being perfect. And then
I saw a tweet on Greinke where his fastball, he hit 87 on a fastball, threw a changeup the next pitch at 88. Who?
Yeah.
What kind of backwards-ass pitching is that where your fastball is hitting 87, your changeup is faster.
Yeah. And that
and they were like, don't expect any logic was that grinky. It's all weird.
And the other crazy thing is his curveball 70-some miles an hour, and it's only been hit for a home run once all season long, and it's been like his most effective pitch. So you think about all that. And the other thing I'm thinking about, because the ball Marcus Semien hit out on him was one of those pitches. Nothing could be more annoying to me as the team on the other side to hear him on every pitch do like your worst nightmare watching a tennis match. Every release is, nah! Nah! And I'm like, dude, that was necessary?
Annoying. You know what was annoying is the damn drumming.
Well, that is.
Can we just? I have to watch A's games, road games with the sound.
The Indians do the same thing.
It's awful.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
The broadcast was talking about it. They were kind of bitching about that. Like, there's some good things about this venue. Don't get me wrong. I'm like, you don't got to be nice about it, dude. It's the Astros listening. You know, and they're like, man, I really hate the drumming.
I will say this though. I went to the Dynamo game. Was it Friday night, Saturday night? I don't remember
Saturday
which.
Saturday night, right?
Saturday night? Yeah. I went to the Dynamo. My buddy, Greg Morton was in town. He performed. He's on America's Got Talent. He does all the voices. And it was Star Wars night at the Dynamo game. So he was performing. I was like, well, I've been meaning to go to a Dynamo game anyways. So that was my first time to go as press. I've always gone as a fan. But it was crazy because it dawned on me. I'm sitting in the press box watching. And I realized there's drumming going on the entire time.
Yeah,
and I always hear it, but it never registered. So then I thought, okay. So when you're there, it's not as annoying for some reason. It's really not.
Your brain kind of tunes it out.
And you're not trying to listen to people call the game. When you're there, it's just silence. It's just whatever ambient noise is in the stadium.
That's the whole group behind the goal. That's the big...
The El Battalion or whatever. Yeah.
Well, but the only thing I was saying was, like, if and obviously it's a guy that's very well respected in Grinky. But, like, if you're on the other team, and if Simeon's the guy that hits the home run, the minute he makes contact, I'm going, ah! Because, I mean, on every pitch, he's grunting and groaning. I'm like, dude, you can have the same effect. Like you said, you can still throw the 88-mile-an-hour heat. You just don't have to grunt on every pitch. And on the curveball, when he does the grunt, I'm like, is that like, do you think that's getting to them? Because, again, just like you said with the drums, every hitter's not lit. They're tuning that out. They're just concentrating on the spin. And, you know, the release point and what they're expecting. But, oh, my God, that would be so annoying because he does it all game long. It's like, who was it? Was it Monica Seles? And then after that, there was one other female tennis player where they were like, you've got to stop. On every contact with the ball, it was, he's like, okay, is it a porn or a tennis match?
I don't know. That's weird that bothers you because that's the one thing that I didn't even notice.
As a pitcher, I'm just thinking an ex-pitcher, too. I never once in my wildest dreams thought, I'm going to exert myself so much that I have to, like, outwardly grunt loudly on a pitch.
Interesting.
Just like I see all these pitchers that are huffing
and
puffing.
Really worked.
No, but I'm saying overall, too, I see a lot of pitchers that, like, was it Armenteros that pitched Saturday? Mm-hmm. I mean, understandably, too, a bigger guy. But, I mean, after every pitch, he's... I'm like, you're not running a lap. You're just throwing baseball.
Shout out to Presley and Osuna holding down the bullpen.
Those guys are great.
And I'm curious. I have a question for you. Since you've been so adamant about
we weren't going to mention the bullpen.
How bad the bullpen guys have been. Where are you at on Jose Altuve right now?
As a bullpen pitcher?
No.
I don't think they need him.
Are you worried about Altuve? Not really having a good month, much like a lot of the guys in the arms in that bullpen. Really struggling this month.
What do you mean not having a good month?
I mean, he's hitting 282.
Okay, but still, I mean, he's been over 300.
He's hitting 282 for the month.
For the month. But overall, his average is 296.
Yep. It was over three.
Now, have I said that I don't have confidence in any of the position players? No. I've said it all about the bullpen.
I know.
If you want to stick on topic, I'm going to talk about how much I don't have confidence in the bullpen.
My point is that as they've been losing, you know how many hits Jose Altuve has in those five losses?
I don't think that clapping was necessary.
He had four hits in those five losses. That's not good. But you don't hate on him. You give him a pass for going through a little mini slump, but you don't do that with the bullpen guys. Why is that?
Because it's just like going to the club and being the bouncer. I give passes to who I feel like it.
Going into that White Sox series, he's hitting 306. Coming out, 296.
Okay.
Oh. You're just mean to the bullpen guys, and I won't allow it.
I like his spin
rate. I won't allow it.
I like his spin rate, and I think that the fact is that overall
I think you're selectively
mean. Look, Rondon, when you start talking about Rondon's batting average, then let's talk about that.
I wonder what he is batting for his career.
Over. Whatever. Seriously.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that are out there scuffling at the plate. Bregman needed that hit, too.
But you know what's interesting about Bregman when they interviewed him after the game, too? And again, it tells you that it goes back to the close-knit bunch that they have. He gave full credit to Maldonado, who wasn't in the lineup, mm-hmm. who said, Maldi picked up something on the pitcher, and I'm not going to say what it was, but he said, he gave me a tip. He was spot on, so shout out to him.
I was able
to take advantage. That is good stuff right there.
Yeah.
That's some good info right there, and good teammates, so there you have that. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it coming up next, and we're going to turn over to the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you sticking with us on a Monday as we open up the week the right way. Covered a lot of topics, had a lot of fun. Hopefully got you going in the right direction with school back in and everybody trying to get back in the swing of things. Except my wife, who didn't make work today.
Oh,
not feeling so good. This third trimester, I got a feeling, is going to be a bear for more than just her. I didn't
better stop talking about it.
At least I didn't sleep.
It.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Because she needed someone to talk to her when she wasn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was tough last night. So.
You're a good husband.
I try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for Saturday night when I had gas.
And
then
she
just went to the other bedroom. And the next morning I wake up, I'm like, where? Sure. And so then she comes down. She goes, yeah. She goes, look, on the good side, I didn't even wake you up. But she said the pregnancy kind of enhances everything.
Oh,
and
I
she
bet.
Goes,
I was about to say,
I already
made
knew it
gag.
Wasn't the dogs. And I admitted it. Like, when she makes tacos, her beans and whatever she does to concoct her beans, they're delicious. But
why don't
they
get some Beano,
they
bro?
Are the gift that just keeps on giving.
Why don't you just get some Beano? No. Have you tried
it?
It
should be my nickname, by the way.
Beano?
Beano, because of that.
Well, my wife threatened it. She was like, God bless it. I don't know. Because she was like, what? I said, you know, the running joke is no matter what I eat, if I have, I'll be like, yeah, boy, the beans and that ice cream got me. Like, she's like, no, everything gets you. And she joked about me getting Beano. Now, when I changed my diet, it's been a lot better. So you should try Beano next time. See if it works. If she knows she's going to make tacos, give it a shot. Okay. But before we move on, I just want to say one more time, thanks and shout out to the Houston Dynamo. I wanted to get out to the game, and I found out Greg Morton was going to be there. He had messaged me. He goes, hey, man, I'm in Houston for a night. So I said, dude, I've been trying to get out to a game anyways. They were able to get me a press pass on short notice, and it was actually a pretty entertaining game after the first half. The first half was pretty bad. Joe Willis was – you might as well just put a trash can back there. And goal. But other than that, great experience. And everybody at the Dynamo organization is top-notch. The action on the field was good after the first half. Like I said, Manotas got a couple of goals. And it was a lot of fun, and my buddy Greg did real well. And you talk about life-changing, man. Being on AGT and now, like, doing that, dude, we couldn't get him away from people fast enough. There was a line to get pictures and autographs with him. It was so
someone
cool.
More popular than you.
It was so cool. Nobody knew who I was.
That's not true. Security guards and everything
knew
who you were.
It was so cool, though, to see it because he was like, dude, this is crazy.
Is that what you meant? Because a lot of people thought Nick and I were having a lot of success that we weren't talking about because you had tweeted about it's so cool when one of your friends.
I genuinely get excited when my friends succeed. I really do. Like when. Even in MMA, man, when I was covering MMA, I had a lot of friends in this business. And when guys like Daniel Pineda would get called up to the UFC or Andrew Craig or when Derek Lewis got called up, I was these were friends of mine and I genuinely got excited for them. Same thing in comedy. When my friends that I see struggling, like Greg's been doing this for he's 61 now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he doesn't look it either. Black don't crack, for real. And he's probably been doing this 30 plus, maybe 40 years. And just now,
it's great.
You know, he gets on AGT, he does all the voices, and so, man, I genuinely get excited for my friends when good things happen.
Did you see
them.
It though, Nick? Because
so
a lot
cool.
of people, Donna and others, were like, "Wait, what happened to Nick and Joel? Something good?
Yeah, but you guys aren't my friends.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. They don't know us that well.
Yeah, I want Barry to fail. He's not my friend.
Right.
Yeah, see, that's the same thing. So I'm like, yeah, the key word is friends. Yeah. But no, it's really cool to see. And I was just flabbergasted at everybody around him. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And hats off to the Dynamo. If you have not been to a game, you really need to go out there. Even if you're not a huge soccer fan, it's a fun experience.
And I think Nick and I have the same sentiments about the Skeeters because, you know, when you look at both the combinations, look, everybody loves sports in this town and most of the people listen to this station. But the problem is that sometimes because of prices and convenience and all these other things, it becomes a hassle more than it can be a family fun entertainment kind of an outing. And with the Skeeters, just like the Dynamo, great venues. Absolutely top-notch venues, but they're downsized a little bit so that there's still a ton to do, but you don't have as much of the hustle and bustle and the convenience of being able to get in and out and the way that they take care of the fan experience. I think it's fantastic. And just like you said, Star Wars night and what they were doing with the Dynamo, they did the same thing with the Skeeters. The guys wore the uniforms. They auctioned them off after the game. Done the right way, you can save money and really get the whole family to have a complete evening of entertainment, either way, Dynamo or Skeeter. So those are good deals.
Yeah, that was fun.
Definitely wanted to throw that out there.
Bama Papa Joe and several others have been asking for the guy that was tweeting and texting saying, hey, did y'all send out emails for fantasy? I can't give you his spot. Like, that's already been done, but I appreciate the interest, and several people have asked for that dude's spot if he didn't get the email. Unfortunately, Courtney said everybody's in. All the teams have been created. So if you don't show up to the draft, that's just your problem, not mine. But everybody, all the teams are created, so you'll just have an auto draft team. But, yeah, so unfortunately, no spots left.
Of those that got a spot, if you don't show up for the actual draft,
that's on you.
But, in terms of people that didn't sign up, then we just replaced them already.
Yeah, and everybody in your league has signed up?
We're good.
Nicholas, everybody in your league has signed up?
I believe so. I don't think we had anybody that dropped out. I think everybody will be ready to go.
Have you signed up?
I have not.
Why am I not surprised?
What surprises you about that?
Because I got an email specifically telling me to hold off on signing in from Courtney.
Really?
Why?
She told me. I forgot what exactly. Sam? She specifically sent an email telling me to hold off on signing in.
Just it could be all your cookies.
Could be that.
They were worried that you would infect the league.
I might be ready to sign in now, but that email was sent to me, I believe, on Friday. So
they did get a new firewall that was installed this afternoon. So maybe it is okay for you to now go through with your
league. They're going to be feeding us. Not the listeners. Us. The three of us.
That's my assumption. I want some wangs.
Yeah.
You know what they say about assumptions?
Oh, if I had to go out there and buy food.
I'm always scared about that because I always like eat something small before I go out. Yeah.
No, I'm going to go straight up prima donna.
Where's the table?
I'm going to be bougie. I'm going to be like, no, what?
I mean, they're usually pretty good about it.
I'll pay for my food. I'm just being.
I know. But I mean, they're usually pretty good about it anyway.
Huh?
You weren't being serious?
What?
Get out of here.
Stop it.
Hey, did you see it? By the way, a neat story. Jack White. From the White Stripes,
yep.
Right.
So which is racist.
Okay, and I actually thought
they prefer to be called
thing.
The Caucasian Stripes.
Okay.
Not the Cracker Stripes. That is racist.
Okay, but he's also moved on from the White Stripes. He also has another band. So they were in D.C. Okay. So they did the anthem at the Nationals Brewers game. Okay. Then they gave him some seats. They were hanging out behind home plate. They were enjoying themselves. It's been documented. He's a baseball fan. So then they had to go to their venue and leave about fifth, sixth inning because they had to go perform. Well, it turns out the game goes extra innings. They get done with their concert, and they realize the stadium lights are still on, and some guy says to him, hey, by the way, the game's still going on. They went back, got back in the game, and the Brewers Nationals game ended up going like 15 innings, and they literally came back, were drinking beer. I think it was Ken Rosenthal, like, highlighted and covered the whole thing. They said normally he's kind of a sourpuss when the camera's on him or he gets any attention for this stuff. He was actually smiling and waving, and he came back and he saw the final inning and saw them win, and they said he's a huge baseball fan.
I'll be damned.
It's kind of a neat
look at him.
Little twist.
I also saw something on Twitter this week, maybe this weekend. Darren Rovell. I don't know how much stock you put in. I hear a lot of people don't like that dude.
A lot of people don't like
him. No,
I think Dana White hates him.
But he was apparently staying in a suite, and he was interviewing the butler of the suite. And he said, I think El Jefe retweeted this. That's why I saw it.
Okay.
But he said – he asked the butler, what's the craziest thing you've ever been asked to get while being a butler for this suite? And it was at the Phoenician or something like that. And the guy said, one time a guy came in and said, I need every pair of Jordans ever made in two different sizes. And he said,
I saw this.
He said, did you get them? And he said, yes. And he said, was that the weirdest part about it? He said, no, he needed it within 2 days. And he said, and you got them all within 2 days? He goes, yep. I can't imagine how much. Oh, well, if you've got enough money to make that kind of request, pair of Jordan,
yeah. But there's also within people, 2 days. Yeah, but you get some people that don't, whether for they're cheap or they just don't get it. They'll pay for the shoes, but they won't take care of the guy that orchestrated it. I believe me, I've seen this being around Barkley and some of these guys. There's a reason why certain guys were nicknamed No Tipping. Okay? So I understand that there are also people that don't get it. So I hope that the guy got taken care of, because that's one hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, yeah, you look at – I mean, they exist. They're out there. You can call Nike. You could get on StockX. You could, you know, Stadium Goods or GOAT or any of these places where you can get shoes aftermarket and find the deals and have them overnighted or whatever, pay a premium. Could you imagine, though? Because I imagine it was all of the, you know, releases – plus, I wonder if that included the PE colorways. Yeah, where
that's
players,
the bigger question.
Because there's a lot of Jordans out there that are just player colorways that weren't necessarily released to the public, but
right.
still were made. So, wow. I'm guessing, what do you think, over 100K?
For just the shoes?
I mean, total. Shoes, tip, overnight,
oh, easily,
total cost.
Easily.
Dude laid down 100K.
I think so. And we don't know. Like we said, we can't figure out how many pair. But if you're thinking for each person, so two different sizes, and you're going with, what are we now in terms of just the regular release? We're in the 30s.
Let's see. I think Kicks on Fire has all of them.
Because, you know, they're still releasing a different Jordan every year. So they got to be in the 30s now.
Yeah, I want to say it's 32.
Okay, so there's just 64 pairs of shoes. And even if you're paying $200 for the ones or $250 that were just released, with some of the early shoes, and then you start, like you said, talking about different variations and limited edition releases, easily $100,000.
Yeah, there's 32, because if you start with the Jordan 1, then it goes to the Jordan 23, then there was the Dub Zeros, then there was the Spizikes, the Six Rings, the 2009s, 2010, 2011, the Olympia, the 60 plus, and then the Jordan 28s. That's 32 different Jordan releases.
So there you go.
Crazy.
I'm saying definitely over 100,000, the guy. And he probably easily hit it big gambling, and so he was able to do it.
Because, yeah, even if you paid, you know, a premium, you're getting two of them. So if you paid...
How long are you in Vegas? You only need two pairs, ship the rest home.
Yeah, and why request that there? If you've got that kind of money, just start buying them. I don't know. That's crazy.
That's nuts. All right. We appreciate you guys spending a Monday with
us.
Hopefully
you'll
do
tonight.
It again Tuesday. Barry's draft is tonight. Mine is tomorrow night. And Nick's is Wednesday night. So we will be fantasy football crazy this week. So hopefully you guys will tune in again, and we'll see how Barry did on his draft. And hopefully the Astros get another victory. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know.